as usual, how I like to start is with questions. So, what is baptism? Who wants to try? Sukanta, what is baptism? I think this one will be the best for you.
Yes, baptism, it is confess our sin and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the accepting Jesus Christ, the sign is baptism with water and Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Is newborn. Our spiritually we born newly.
Amen.
By accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen. So it is a sign. I love the words that you've used. Being born again, we've confessed Jesus, we are saved, and then there's newborn life, and it's a sign. Okay, wow, good words. Huh? It seems everyone understands. Okay, who wants to try? What is baptism? I'm already feeling that we fully understand it, but that's a good one. Huh? It's a good start, Sukanta. Thank you for that. Who else wants to try? What is baptism? Yeah. In your understanding, in your definition. Nishanti, you want to try? How will you define baptism?
Baptism is a public affirmation of our new faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Public identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
Where we identify with that.
Amen. So it's a public affirmation or public declaration that you identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. That's powerful. So we are identifying, and I love the word that you have used. It's public. That means you cannot be baptized in hiding. Huh? Or rather, ideally, it does not make sense to be baptized in hiding, but it's a public declaration. So it was done publicly, and what we know, the culture at that time, if you're a disciple of someone, and like maybe you can think of it like there are societies that have certain rituals or rites of passage that bring you into that community and you become a part of them, or you become, you know, they consider you publicly as one of them, you know. So it's a rite of passage, as we see, and really, as you said, it's a public affirmation of our identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So I think that's quite a good capturing, and I think we'll get right ahead, and let me know if my slides are moving. So that I tried today to make sure they work, but I hope so. Slides are moving?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll start with the definition, and ideally it comes from a Greek word, which is baptizo, and which means to put under water. That means immersion, immerse, put under water. And ideally, when we use it in the Bible, it's a process by which a person's body is placed under the water. Okay, so baptism is really a Greek word that means immersion, and that is a very important word, that it is placed under water. Someone has to go under the water, and I know there are those that would do baptism with sprinkling, but we will see from the scriptures whether there was anyone that sprinkled someone with water for baptism, and what does that agree with scripture or not. Now in Hebrew there is also a word for baptism, and the word is tevila, which basically means the act of dripping or immersing in water, and is often used in the context of ritual purification or cleansing, and which was important to the Jewish tradition, like the mikveh and the Christian practice of baptism. Now, ideally, as I said, it's a rite or a ritual or a tradition that is initiated for the Christians, but also it was also there in Judaism, and so this is something that we have to be aware that involves submergence, and as someone has mentioned, it's the beginning or the initiation of the new believer, and the new believer begins a new life. Now, when we speak of ordinances, like when we say that this is a church ordinances, ideally there are usually two ordinances that Jesus asked people to do. And one is the Holy Communion. Remember, and this is something that we did when we studied the New Covenant. We say that the cup of the covenant, we say that he said that do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You know, partake of the bread and partake of the wine. And when you do that, you proclaim the Lord's death and his resurrection and that victory that comes with his death. But then also in the Great Commission, and I think someone said either we are doing the Great Commission or we are doing the Great Omission. That means if we are not fulfilling the Great Commission, ideally the church should be found that it is not doing the Great Commission. So it's doing the Great Omission. And what is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And the Bible says, and Jesus came to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven, and go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and on earth teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. I think there's a spelling mistake there, but it says baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the two ordinances that believers are supposed to do, one is the Holy Communion, and number two is baptism. So these are two important things that we need to do. Now, when we look at biblical examples of baptism, we look at scriptures that show us how baptism was done and when it was done. So in Luke chapter 3, verse 2 to 9, the Bible says, and this is speaking about John the Baptist. So the person that we first see in scripture, I know we will also look at where the allegories of baptism in the Old Testament. That one is something that we'll also see, and it's something that you can study further. But ideally, the baptism that we see in the New Testament is really introduced by John. And it is interesting that the Bible says that in Luke chapter 3, verse 2 to 9, that while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That means for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 10. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise. The tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations he preached to the people, but Herod the tetrarch, being rebuked by him, concerning Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife, and for all the evils Herod had done, and added this above all that he shut John up in prison. Now, the reason I read this is because at times we focus much on the baptism that John did, but we can miss out the context that was happening. Think of the Israelites. The Bible, if historians tell us, between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, or rather between the Old and the New Testament, is around 400 years. So there was actually about 400 years of silence. Ideally, there was silence, or what you will call, there was no prophetic voice in Israel for about 400 years. And so when this man appears, you can imagine he is in the wilderness. The Bible says that he had the camel skin. His clothes were of a camel. Number two, he had one belt, and then he used to eat honey and locusts. And that was the kind of man that was there. And living in the wilderness, he's a Nazarene. He does not, eat, he grows his hair and all that. And then the Bible says the word of God came to him when he was there. And then he started preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That means that his actual message was about people repenting and turning to do right. So the focus of his message was that if you turn to do what is right, then you are baptized. That means they are cleansed. So he was cleansing them from their sins, and then also teaching them how to live right, or rather how to live in the right way. So you can see there was not only just the symbolism of the baptism, what it meant, that it's the cleansing, but also there was a preaching about repentance. And that is why I decided to read that, we can read that entire part. But also something that we should not miss, that he also says that for him, he came to baptize us with water, or the Israelites with water, but there is one who was coming that was mightier than him, that is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And by the grace of God, we'll also be able to look at the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But today we are focusing on water baptism. Now, another example, biblical example of baptism, is when Jesus came to be baptized. And maybe we'll look at the four accounts of what happened when Jesus was baptized, because it's very important that we look at it. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3 verse 13, the Bible says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized with you, by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And this is a key word, fulfilling all righteousness. And this is something that will help us answer the question, whether is it a must to do it or not. You can see that our Lord and Savior felt that it was important and said that, let me fulfill all righteousness. The Bible says, then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, if you look at what is happening, and this is one of the areas where we see the Trinity, or rather God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in one place, is you see that when Jesus came out of the water, the Bible says he saw the Spirit of God came descending like a dove. That means that the Holy Spirit is not a dove, but descending like a dove. That means he came like a dove and he alighted upon him. Now, it's very important that we see that the Holy Spirit came and rested upon Jesus. And then there was a voice that came from heaven. Who was the voice? It was the Father. So the Father is the one that said, this is my beloved Son. And he called Jesus my beloved Son. That is the Father, who is the source of all. And then the Spirit came and descended on Jesus, and then Jesus was coming out of the water. So we see the Trinity. Now, Mark tells us, adds something interesting, that it says, Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he he saw the heavens parting and the whole and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, this is much similar to the account of Matthew. Now, Luke, I think, is where he was praying. And this is what I think I wanted to highlight. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, 22, the Bible says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. While he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" And I love how Luke says that while he prayed. That means as he was coming out of the water, he was also praying. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the heavens were open. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 32, "And John bore witness." So In the first three Gospels, they speak of Jesus seeing, but also in John now, we see that it is John that saw. "And John bore witness, saying that I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" Now, what is that to our benefit? Our benefit is when we are going through water baptism and we are praying, one of the things that happens is actually the heavens are open to us. And in the same way that Jesus, that God declared that Jesus, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," the Father also declares and affirms you that you are my child. Why? Because you are identifying with baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you're also acknowledging that you are his son. And beyond that also, the Holy Spirit is also able to come and rest upon you. And I've seen a number of people who, as they were coming out of the water, as they were being baptized, as they came out of the water, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. People who had never spoken in tongues, they were able to speak in tongues. So this is an experience that can happen depending on someone's faith and someone's belief and someone's trusting in God for that experience. It is very possible, and it is something that happens. Now, I wanted to highlight something that apart from John coming to baptize people for the repentance and for the forgiveness of sins, he also came to baptize because he tells us that the person who sent him, that means when the Holy Spirit or when the Father sent him to baptize, he said, "But he who sent me to baptize with water said unto me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" And the Bible says, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." So John is telling us that the reason he came to baptize actually was a strategy that God had given him, that by him going to baptize, he is going to be able to reveal Christ. You know, I believe he lived with Jesus. Jesus was his cousin. Yes, he was in the wilderness, but they knew they were related. But you see, it was in this moment that he got the revelation that this cousin of mine is actually the Son of God. And what was it? He was told that you baptize, and the person on whom you see the Holy Spirit come and descend upon, this is the one who is will baptize with the Holy Spirit, and this is the Son of God. So baptism to John the Baptist was not only just for the purification or for the people to know they are forgiven of their sins, and also to preach the repentance, where he's telling them, if you've been stealing, don't steal no more. If you have two clothes, share one with another. That was part of it, but also what was key to reveal the Christ. And you see, that is why Jesus says, among those born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because of all the people, all the prophets, they only were trying to see how the Christ will be. They were only wondering, how will God live in a man? But it is only John that was able to see and identify, this is the Christ. And that is why Jesus says, among those born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist. That means for us to understand that the greatest thing to God is actually knowing Christ. beyond, you know, and that's why even when Peter discovers that he is the Christ, he says, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father. Now, that is something that I want us to see. Now, beyond John baptizing, we should also understand that also Jesus was baptizing and his disciples were baptizing. Ideally, it was a way that disciples will identify with their faith or with the person they are following. So, the same time John was baptizing, also Jesus' disciples were baptizing. Now, John chapter 3, verse 22, we can read, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them unbaptized. Now, John also was baptizing in Ainon near Salim because there was much water there. Now, this is something we already spoke about. When we speak about baptism, it's about immersion, it's about going inside water, much water. That's why I highlighted there, because there was much water. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. That's why they are saying, look, Jesus, the one you testified about, Jesus is baptizing. And everyone is going to him. And what did John answer them? He says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. And I think I cut out towards the end. He also continues to say, he must increase and I must decrease. So John was clearly saying that, well, I came baptizing. My baptism was of repentance. But you see, him is greater than I am, and he can only give what he has received from heaven. He can only have what he has received from heaven. And he tells his disciples, I must become less and Jesus must increase. Now, John chapter 4 tells us, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. So you can see more people were going to Jesus than were being baptized by John. John continued his baptism, but then more people were being baptized by Jesus. Then, but the Bible tells us, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So Jesus was not really focusing on the baptism. It is his disciples that were doing it. And when he discovered that the Pharisees were going to get jealous and seeing that he had more disciples than John, he decided to leave and he departed again to Galilee. And there he has to go through Samaria. And that is where we see he meets a Samaritan woman. Now, when Jesus was leaving the earth, and this is what we spoke about, the Great Commission, he says, he gives us the command about making disciples and baptizing them. And this is something that I want us to see. In Matthew chapter 18, which we have read, let's say verse 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So you can see, he's not only telling them, make disciples, baptize them. So that means there is an order. You make the disciples, you preach to them, they believe. Then you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit. And then beyond that, you don't just leave them after the baptism. I know some people just focus, oh, yeah, I've done baptism, I'm going to heaven. Now, teaching them, they need to be taught how to observe the things that I have commanded. So the teaching is also part of the process. Now, Mark chapter 16 says that, verse 15, it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And he continues to say, the signs that shall accompany them that believe. So what are we seeing? We are seeing that if you believe, the Bible says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. So the believing precedes the baptism. And this is very important that we need to see. Now, if we go ahead, we can see also that the early church also baptized. Now, Acts tells us, chapter 2, verse 36, the Bible tells us that, therefore, let all house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and Peter said to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness or for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children. And if you jump to verse 41, the Bible says, Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine that preaching? After the Pentecost has happened, the Holy Ghost has come upon them. They go out and they preach to all these different people from different Jews from different areas. You know, we listed almost 13 nations that they had come, who are living in different places. They had come for the Pentecost celebrations. Now, they preached to them, and then the men asked, What should we do to be saved? And then Jesus, and then Peter tells them, Repent. Repent, that means turn, change your mind. It's not just about confession. You have to have the heart to change. You have to be willing to change and live a past life and live the life of faith. And the Bible says, And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. So it is repentance, and you'll be baptized into the name. And then the Bible says, those who gladly received, those who believed in the message, what happened? They were baptized that day. Can you imagine? They did not like wait, oh, let's wait for 1 week to come, or let's wait for 1 month to come. I can imagine how tiresome it was. If you have seen how baptism is done, you know, holding the people, taking them down, lifting them up, you know, some are fighting with you. But the disciples baptized 3,000 souls were added. And another place, 5,000 souls were added. Now, that is telling you that it is a significant, and it was important, because publicly it was a declaration that they were born again. Now, even look at Acts. The Bible says when Philip went to Samaria, the Bible says, but when they believed Philip, in Acts chapter 8, verse 12 to 13, when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So, men and women. This is something that I also want us to see. It's not a man thing. It's not a only. Also, men and women. And this is very important, and we'll look at it at some point. And the Bible says, Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And remember, this was Simon, the former sorcerer, or Simon the sorcerer, seeing the miracles. But you see, he still was still in the process of being taught. That means that he believed, he was baptized, but as he continued, his heart was not yet converted. That means someone will say, in some people they say he was not delivered, or he was not truly born again. But he went through the ritual. That means he went through the water. And someone says at times, you can enter the water a dry sinner and you come out a wet sinner. That means it has had no effect if you just were baptized for the sake of baptism, and there is no true repentance, and there is no true desire to change. Now, look at Acts chapter 16. Verse 14, it speaks of this woman Lydia. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, that means that she and her household were baptized, immediately she believed. She begged us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now look at also Paul and Silas. Remember, it was just midnight. They were in prison. And when the angel came, the Bible says, maybe I'll start from Acts 16, verse 30. Maybe 28. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, raining, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. This is the jailer who had arrested Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who are in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. That means they did not even wait for 2 a.m. It was just that same, the Bible says, and that same time, that same hour of the night, he washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. So you can see how much it was so symbolism and so important for them that they were baptized when they believed. Now, this is just something for your study. What are allegories? Allegories of water baptism in the Old Testament. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5 tells us that maybe from verse, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware of that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, this are, and the Bible says this are written for a warning. So it's telling us that it's not necessarily that because you now are baptized that now automatically you're going to heaven. If you don't stay faithful in obedience, you can end up like the Israelites in the wilderness. Why? Because the Bible is telling us that they were all baptized into Moses. That means Moses also represents the Christ, because he's also an archetype of Christ. He represents a deliverer. He delivered the Israelites. They were all baptized into Moses. They all came under the leadership, under the guidance, under the spirit of Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. As they went through the sea, is a form of baptism. As they were covered by the cloud, remember, the cloud protected them, is a form of baptism. And they all drank from the same spiritual drink. That is, when they were given this manna, when they were given the water from the rock, that was Christ. Now also think of Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian general, and he had leprosy. And he was told by Elisha, go and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. And his body was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So in a way, he was also going to identify with obedience. And by him being baptized, it was also a form of baptism that he went and did publicly. That's why he was asking, are there no cleaner rivers in Syria? But the little girl told her. But this is something you can study. And there are more allegories of baptism. I don't want to go into that, but I just want you to have a picture of those two, and you can go and read further. Now, we are going to answer some frequently FAQs, frequently answered questions, asked questions about baptism, and then this will help us come to a close. Now, number one, how is water baptism done? We've seen from the scriptures that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the river. It was not beside the water. He was not, on the land and water was sprinkled to him. He was not around the water, but he was in the water. And this completely rules out other forms of baptism. It is sprinkling. Now, some people will argue, oh, maybe you're in the desert, that is why they do sprinkling. But you can still find people are still doing sprinkling, yet they are not in a desert, or they are not in a place where there is no water. Now, Jesus tells us that they found water, and he came out, he went under the water, and he was baptized. Now, what is the requirement to be baptized? Simply accepting the message of Christ, believing in the Lord Jesus, and those that believe in the Lord Jesus, they are saved. So ideally, what we see from the scriptures, there were no special requirements for certain classes to be completed as certain denominations do, though there is nothing wrong with doctrinal classes, because at times the doctrinal classes are good because they ground you in the faith. But if we see scriptures, the pattern was immediately someone believed, immediately they were baptized, and then they are taught after that. But nowadays we find some denominations do that. Oh, you have to go through this class. After the class, then you're confirmed, then you're baptized, and then now you're going to heaven. Now, the pattern in scripture was you believe, you're baptized, and you're taught the word of God. Now, if we look at Acts chapter 9, this think of Brother Saul when he was converted to Paul. The Bible says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So we can see for Saul, immediately that he came and told him, Brother Saul, he received his sight and he arose and was baptized. So he immediately went under the water and showed that he was baptized. Think of also Philip and the eunuch from Ethiopia. The eunuch from Ethiopia, after he understood the Bible, in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, he asks, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Remember, into the water. And he baptized him, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. So you can imagine, Philip disappeared. That's a miracle. Now, look at also when the Gentiles. So you can see everyone that believes in the name of Jesus is baptized. And Peter, he went and spoke to the Gentiles, the house of Cornelius. And the Bible says, and those of the circumcision, the Jews who believed and were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And this is Acts chapter 10, verse 45. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So that means they cannot forbid anyone, and we should not forbid anyone. Now, and I already highlighted where the jailer was baptized. Now, the other question that we always ask, do we baptize children? Now, when we see in the scriptures, what we see is dedication, not baptism. There was the naming. You remember, if you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 59, when John was 8 days old, the child was brought to be circumcised, and they named him John. Even in the time of Jesus, the Bible says, Luke chapter 2, verse 22, now when the days of our purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the Lord. Now you can see they offered a sacrifice and they said his name shall be called John. But what did Jesus do? Remember, and this is something that we've read in Matthew 19, verse 13, the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. So this is the pattern of Jesus. We see that for children, they were brought to him, he will lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples were blocking them and rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and he departed from there. So ideally, baptism should be done after the age of accountability. Now, what is the age of accountability? The age when a child is able to be mature, able to fully understand the message, able to understand their need for repentance and their need for turning a life unto God, that is when they can be baptized. The age will depend. I mean, and there's a 10-year-old child who will be already at the age of accountability. Some will be maybe after 18. Some will be when they're teenagers. But ideally, it will not make sense for a child who has not fully have come to understanding. So someone should not say, no, me, I was baptized as a child. That is ideally not the baptism that we see in scriptures. Remember, it said baptize men and women. Now, what is the meaning or the significance of baptism? Number one, it is symbolic of the move from death to life, and it represents Christ's burial and resurrection. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And you can read that in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 4. It says, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That is telling you that when we are buried into the water, when we go under the water, we are also being buried like Christ, where he was buried in the cave, he went into death. Then when we come out of the water, we are being resurrected with Christ. So we are dying with Christ, we are being buried with Christ, and we are being resurrected with him. And that's why Colossians 2 verse 12 said, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So it is symbolic of the move from death to life, representing Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Number two, it's symbolic of being raised to a new life as Christians. With death to the old man and being raised to a new life. That means you're dying to sin, you're dying to your flesh, you're dying to every carnal aspect, and you're coming up as a new creation. That's why the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And ideally, I love this statement that says, it's like a wedding ring. It's an outward sign of your daily commitment to be a Christian believer, and it is done publicly. So it's something that you show the world. It's just like if you're married, you'll walk around with your wedding ring. Why? Because you want to show the world that, you know what, I'm taken. I made a commitment to be with someone, and this person is my wife, or this person is my spouse. Now, and this is, we've already read that we're buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. I tell you, when you believe in Christ, God gives you the power to live a new life. In this new life, you have power over sin, you have power over the flesh, and you cannot say that sin overpowered you. No, you can resist it, and you are no longer a slave to sin. Now, number three, what is the third significance or meaning of baptism is that it is an entrance into a new covenant. Now, what does that mean? Baptism connects us to the body of Christ. That means we become one body. We are united into the body because, remember, the water represents the spirit. So when we are going under the water, we are now entering and being immersed into his body. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 14, that for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. So by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact the body is not one, but many members. Why should we be baptized? Number one, we are following the example of Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness. Number two, baptism is an act of obedience to Jesus' commandment. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Number three, it is a public confession of your faith in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. I've also answered this question. Does baptism save us? No. Baptism does not make us people believers. Neither does it save us. It is only shows that you are already a believer. It is an outward sign of an inward change. So if someone says, oh, me I'm baptized, I'm going to heaven, and they don't live the life of faith, there's nowhere they are going. So baptism does not make you a believer. It does not save you. It only shows that you are already a believer, because salvation is only by grace through faith in God. And when you believe and confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, can one go to heaven if they are not baptized? Yes. Why? And we can think of the person on the cross, the criminal on the cross. There was no time for him to get down from the cross to be baptized. But Jesus told him, remember me. Okay, he cried out to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. But now I'll ask the question, are you on the cross today? No. So if you have not been baptized, I think it is important that you fulfill all righteousness and you have the time and you can move it forward and take the charge to be baptized. Paul was not against baptism, because I'm sure you'll come across this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17, where he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, let the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. He was just focusing on division, because someone was saying, oh, me I'm of Apollos, me I'm of Peter, me I'm of Cephas, me I'm of Christ, me I'm of Paul. He said, look guys, none of you are baptized. Were you baptized into my name? We are not baptizing people into our own names as men of God. No. I baptize few people, and he tells them of the Corinthian church. I only baptize Crispus and Gaius, but and maybe the household of Stephanas, because my main message was not baptism, but preach the gospel with the wisdom, not with wisdom of words, but the power of God. Who is allowed to baptize? Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And that means the Great Commission is for everyone. Ideally, the Great Commission is for everyone. That means everything about the Great Commission is for all. It's not just for leaders. It's not just for church leaders. So ideally, who is allowed to baptize? Church leaders. Ideally, what we see is pastors, elders, deacons, all the clergy. However, the commandment is for all disciples. That means in the absence of a clergy, if God sends you to a remote village or to a place where there is no clergy and maybe you're not ordained and there are people that need to be baptized, feel free to do it, because this is for all disciples. And this is something that you will see. You can think of the stories of where the missionaries were forced to leave China, and when they left China, they came back and found the largest church, underground church. Why? Because the disciples, they grew, they understood the word of God, and they carried on with the preaching and the baptizing and the bringing people to be saved. So I will pause there and I'll come to an end, and I will ask the question, have you been baptized? If not, what are you waiting for? So I think this is the end of my sharing, and I'll open it for reflections and questions, and I hope I've answered most of your questions, and if there's still a question, feel free to ask. Over.